Thank you guys for reading that scripture. Just want to tell you where that's found. We're going to be spending some time in Ephesians 4 and 5 today, if you have your Bible or Bible app. We are one church, unified by God's Holy Spirit. And we have one hope that begins now for those who call Jesus Lord and Savior. One hope that will continue on into eternity when his kingdom comes fully at Christ's return. He is our one Lord, and we have one faith. There's one baptism that unites us in him, and one Father over all. You see, friends, we are one church. Not because we're in this room together during this special time, but because of him. That's why. We are united together as one church, and we celebrate him, and we are going to remind ourselves powerfully one more time of our identity in him this morning. We're going to wrap up this series that we've been on for several weeks called Fake ID, Reclaiming Our Identity in Christ. We began this series, if you remember, several weeks ago by filling in the blank on this well-known sticker right here, right there. Hello, I am. And if you're visiting for the first time this morning, if you're a guest with us this morning, basically what we said was, is you imagine you're invited to a party, and the host says, don't write your name in the blank. Put another qualifier, another descriptor of yourself, whatever you see yourself as. It may be something that you do. It may be something that is a talent or a gift, something that identifies you other than your name. So how would you fill in that blank? And that's the challenge I gave to each of us. There are a lot of different words you could choose there. What most identifies you other than your name? And what we've been talking about the past few weeks is whatever you write in that blank has quite a bit of power over your life. And so in this series, Fake ID, we've been pulling out a fake ID each week, identifying it, calling what it is, unpacking it a little bit, and then going to the truth of Scripture to reclaim our true identity in Jesus. Because the reality is that far too many of us are living out of these fake IDs. Whether it's a specific passion or pursuit, or our successes or our failures, or accepting labels that others have given to us, whether they're true or not. Some of us are living out of these fake identities. And they shape our lives. They have power over our lives. And so we not only have been focusing on who we are, but we've also been talking about who we are not. So we've defined these fake IDs, and we've said on the flip side that our identity is the truest thing about us. That's kind of how we've defined identity. It's the truest thing about us. And for many of us, the truest thing about us isn't even true. The truest thing about us, for some of us, that we believe that this is who I am, it's not even true. And it has power over your life, and it dictates then your behavior. A few weeks ago, I was doing some reading on a sociological research project called the Scar Experiment. I want you to hear kind of what the basis, the foundation of this was. It was so interesting to me as we're talking about identity. So for this project, they had 10 different volunteers come into a specific location at different times. They never saw one another. They came in at different times. And with the help of professional makeup artists, they all sat down for a period of time, and they had a hideous scar put on the lower side of their face. And once they were finished, the makeup artist gave the volunteer a mirror, and they were able to see, oh, wow, that looks real. And it's just this hideous scar on the side of their face. And so the idea was is that they would then go out into public, and they would gauge how people treated them based on this scar. Right before they were sent out, though, they were called back. Again, individually, not seeing one another individually, they were called back in. And they said, well, one more adjustment we need to make before you go out. Come sit down just for a second. And the scar was removed completely without them knowing it. They just thought an adjustment was being made, but the scar was removed completely, and then they were sent out into public. Each of the 10 volunteers returned at separate times again, and they were to report how they were treated. To a person, they all stated, "I was treated rudely. Not very many people were kind to me." And then the most shocking statement that was pretty consistent throughout the 10 volunteers was something to this effect: "People kept staring at my scar." And as you know, the scar wasn't even there. But listen to me, church, listen. They believed that it was. They believed that that scar that they saw in the mirror was still there. And so they were seeing things through that lens, through the lens of this fake scar that was there. And it wasn't there, but they believed that it was. That's why this topic of identity in Christ is so vitally important for each one of us. Because what we believe in our hearts and our minds about ourselves is what is. Paul's message for us at the beginning of the letter of Ephesians is quite clear, is it not? 14 times he tells them and us, in Christ, in Christ, in him, through him, by him, for him. Where's our identity? It's in Christ. He's in essence telling the Ephesians, listen, previously you may have thought the truest thing about you was who you used to be. The labels that were given to you, you may believe that's the truest thing about you. So your successes, your failures, the things that people are saying about you, and what Paul is trying to tell them, especially the Gentile Christians, is listen, you are none of those things. Those are not the truest things about you. The truest thing about you is that you are in Jesus Christ. And that's the first three chapters of Ephesians as we've been talking about in this series. Again and again, he keeps going back to who we are in Christ. Our identity in him is foundational, because if we don't start with our identity, then we can talk about the right things to do and the wrong things to do, the behavior we're supposed to have as Christians. But if we're not firmly rooted in who we are in Christ, those behaviors aren't going to stick. They're just not. But then he makes a shift for us. Paul's going to make a shift. In the second half of the Ephesian letter, Paul is going to teach, because this is who you are in Christ, this is what your life should look like. And so the apostle firmly establishes our identity in Jesus, and now he's going to write about our behavior that flows from identity. And that's what we've been talking about in this series, right? Our behavior flows from our identity. So if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians 4, I want you to listen one more time closely to Ephesians 4, verse 1. "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." And I just want you to listen closely. This is what Paul is literally saying. Live a life worthy of what God has called you. Do you see it? He spends three chapters setting this foundation of, you are in Christ, you are chosen, you are adopted, you are redeemed, you are marked, you are loved, you are a masterpiece of God's. And so therefore, live a life worthy of what you've been called. Not by others, not by your friends, not by your coworkers, not by your coach, not by your parents. Live a life worthy of what you've been called by God. That's what verse 1 is about. So God has chosen you. He's adopted you. He's redeemed you. He's marked you. You are his masterpiece. He has created you in his image, and you are his beloved. That's who you are. And so now Paul is going to describe what that life should look like. And he begins, I think this is important, He begins with how we treat others. Look at verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And so what he's saying is, look, this is who you are in Christ. And as a part of living that identity out, treat each other with humility and with gentleness. You know what one clear-cut way to measure a life that is not being lived in Christ? It's when we're being harsh with one another. It's when we're being impatient with each other. It's when we're arrogant and boasting and becoming angry quickly. We're not living out of Christ in those moments. And the quickest way back to treating others the way that Christ treats us is to remind ourselves this isn't a life lived out of the way of Christ. I need to reframe here. I need to get resettled in my true identity. Another powerful example of this is in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 25. I just want to read this section of Scripture because it's just chopped full of practical living. And again, it's rooted in who we are in Jesus. So listen for the identity language. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Here it is. Remember, He has identified you as His own. You have been marked, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And then again in Ephesians 5, as he starts this next chapter, he points them back again to the first three chapters. Ephesians 5, the first two verses, listen to the behavioral command that flows from identity. Imitate God. That's an easy task. Imitate God in everything you do. Why? Because you are His dear children. Why should I live like God? Why should I walk in the steps of Jesus? Because I'm His child. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself for us as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. A few years ago, you may remember a missionary from San Antonio named Warren Beamer. He was visiting an orphanage in Nigeria, Africa, when a girl approached him. He was startled by the way that she looked and the way that she talked. She began speaking perfect English, and in fact, she had a southern accent. Obviously not what you would think you would hear in the middle of nowhere in Nigeria. She claimed to be from Houston, Texas, and she started reciting her social security number to him. And then she took Beamer over to her six brothers and sisters, ranging in age from 8 to 16. Come to find out, these children had been sent over to a Nigerian boarding school by their mother. And when she stopped making the tuition payments, they sent them to this orphanage. And so these seven kids were doing their best to try to convince Mr. Beamer that they were Americans. And so they huddled him and the others up, and they began to perform this perfect rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, how else can you convince someone you're an American? But to sing a perfect rendition of the national anthem. And so with the help of Mr. Beamer's pastor back home and a local U.S. congressman, these children were brought back home within about 8 days. How is that possible? What happened here for that to happen so quickly? Well, these children had a very clear identity, right? You could tell right away that they were from a specific place Their appearance was different. Their words were different. They even sounded different. Their behaviors were different. It was easy for people to see that they were Americans. You see the connection, right? People shouldn't have to guess which kingdom we're from. We are of the people of God. We are of the kingdom of God. And people shouldn't have to look at our lives and our behaviors to guess, are they a Christian or what? They should be able to identify us because we look differently, we speak differently, we sound different, we behave differently and uniquely. That's why Peter says, you are a peculiar people. You are unique. Why? Because of who we are in Christ. And we are imitating his life. That's who we are. And our daily lives should noticeably stand out. We have been redeemed. We have been remade. And so our actions should look differently from those who don't follow Jesus. Our reactions should reflect the way of Jesus. And people shouldn't have to wonder, is Micah Hobbs a Christian or is he not? They should be able to look at my life and say, I think he follows Jesus. And so as we close out this series, I want to give us some declarations from Scripture. And you're going to recognize some of these scriptures and some may be new to you, but these are all powerful reminders of who we are in Jesus Christ. But first, you might have noticed the name tags in your seats. And so I hope everybody's able to have one. If some of you don't get one, I apologize. But if you're near some of those and even in the pews behind you where there's no one sitting, if you'll try to pass those out so that everybody gets one. As I'm reading these scriptures, the first thing that I want you to do is think about those fake IDs that have shaped you. Whether it's in the past or maybe it's in the present, I want you to think about the fake IDs that you've allowed to shape you. And maybe you've realized throughout this series that they're not even true. They're not even true, but you've allowed them through other people, through what people have said about you or labeled you, you've allowed them to become who you are. And whatever those are, whether it's mentally or if you have a journal with you or if you want to write it down and out to Mesa Life and cross it out, however you want to do it, if it's just a mental exercise to just cross it out and give it to God, exchange it. Because those fake IDs, those false identities are not who you are. I want you to reject those lies today. What I want you to receive today is your true identity in Jesus. I want you to truly, in this act of writing a name on your name tag, I want you to receive, I want you to reclaim your identity in Jesus Christ this morning. So I want you to choose a name of God. Maybe you already know which one means the most to you, but I want you to write that with one of the pens in the pews in front of you. I want you to write down a name of God, and then I want you to wear it on your shirt as you walk out of here today. So I'm going to read these scriptures, and maybe one of these scriptures will stand out to you. Maybe you'll choose one of these names. This isn't an exhaustive list. This is just a small sampling. In Christ, I am salt. In Christ, I am light. In Christ, I am a child of God. In Christ, I am God's friend. In Christ, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I am a saint. In Christ, I am God's masterpiece. In Christ, I am a part of God's family. In Christ, I am righteous. In Christ, I am a citizen of heaven. In Christ, I am chosen by God. In Christ, I am holy. In Christ, I am called by God. In Christ, I am a foreigner in this world. In Christ, I am born of God. And in Christ, I am justified. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I am free from condemnation. In Christ, I'm purchased and redeemed. In Christ, I am made complete. And in Christ, I am saved and set apart. In Christ, I am a new creation. And in Christ, I am loved. So fill in your name tag. And dare I say that you wear that with pride today, because that is who you are in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul time and time again says, I will brag about nothing except for Jesus. As we walk out today and we talk with one another, you'll see the names of God that you've chosen to wear. Speak words of encouragement and affirmation to one another. Affirm the names that we are called by God. Here in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after that prayer, we're going to continue in some worship, singing some songs together. And during those songs, I'll be right down here. We'll have some shepherds in the back of the room. And if you need to respond, if you need prayers of encouragement, prayers for healing, or if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, to be redeemed, to be saved, to be justified, to be marked by His Holy Spirit, we would love to witness your confession and baptism this morning. So let that be known if you're ready to do that today. And we'll do that. We'll serve you in that way. Let's pray together. Father God, we are overwhelmed by your love for us. We praise you today because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We praise you today because in Christ we are made new. We are forgiven. We are justified. And Father, today I pray that we would receive our true identity in your Son Jesus, knowing that you have created us to do something wonderful and awesome for your glory and for your kingdom. And I pray that we would lean into that, that we would search and that we would find the ways in which you have called us to serve other people in this church and in our community, in our world. And I pray, Father, that through our witness from this place flowing out of our identity in you, that many people would hear of your gospel, that they would hear of your Son Jesus, and that they would come to know you and follow you. So I pray, Father, not only for ourselves that we would receive and reclaim our true identity in Christ, but we would go and that we would share that saving message, that freeing message, that He has come and that in Him there is no condemnation and that we are set free from our past and empowered to live a new life. Father, help us to receive these identities. Help us to share of your good news today. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.